भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We're reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 5, and we're going to finish the chapter of Narada's teachings to Vasudeva, starting with text 50. Purport's on 50, so we'll repeat the Sanskrit on this verse. Bhubarasura Rajanya Hantave Guptaye Satam Avatir Nasya Nirvrityai Yasho Loke Vitanyate. Questions? Bhubara, who were the burden of the earth, Asura, demons, Rajanya, members of the kingly order, Hantave, in order to kill, Guptaye, for the protection, Satam, of the saintly devotees, Avitirnasya, of him who has descended. Nivrichai, also for awarding liberation. Yashaha, the fame. Loke, throughout the world. Vitanyate, has become spread. Translation. The Supreme Personality of God had descended to kill the demoniac kings, who were the burden of the earth, and to protect the saintly devotees. However, both the demons and the devotees are awarded liberation by the Lord's mercy. Thus his transcendental fame has spread throughout the universe. I'm just going to read the last two texts before we get that purport. You can say the Sanskrit also. Sri Shuka Vacha Eta Kshipa Mahabhago Vasudevi Smita Devaki Cha Mahabhaga Dahatur Mahatmana. Translation. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, having heard this narration, the greatly fortunate Vasudeva was completely struck with wonder. Thus he and his most beloved wife Devaki gave up all illusion and anxiety that it had entered their hearts. Text 52. Itihasam imam punyam dharaya yat samahitaha sabidhuyaya shamalam brahmabhuyaya kalpate. Anyone who meditates on this pious historical narration with fixed attention will purify himself of all contamination in this very life and thus achieve the highest spiritual perfection. Blessing of the Bhaktivedanta Purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, says the Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 11th canto, 5th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Narada Concludes His Teachings to Vasudeva. So back to the translation again to text 50. The Supreme Personality of Godhead descended to kill the demoniac kings who were burdened of earth and to protect the saintly devotees. However, both the demons and the devotees are awarded liberation by the Lord's mercy. Thus his transcendental fame has spread throughout the universe. Purport. A doubt may arise as to how the Supreme Personality of Godhead descends to this material world. And since he is the omnipotent creator of millions of universes, why do the devotees glorify as wonderful the Lord's activities, such as killing a witch named Putana by sucking out her life with her breast? Although such activities are certainly beyond the scope of the ordinary human beings, why should they be considered wonderful when executed by the omnipotent personality of Godhead? The answer is given in this verse by the word nirvrityai. The Lord killed the demons not because he was envious of them, but in order to give them spiritual liberation. Thus the causeless mercy of the personality of Godhead in liberating both the devotees and the demons by his inconceivable pastimes clearly distinguishes the Lord from any other living entity, either man or demigod. It is stated, Mukti Pidhata Sarvesham Vishnu Eva Nasam Shayaha. Only Vishnu can give liberation beyond birth and death. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has pointed out that generally the demons are awarded impersonal liberation in the Brahman effulgence, whereas the devotees are given the superior benediction of love of Godhead in the spiritual planets. Thus the Lord exhibits his causeless mercy toward all classes of living entities, and his fame is spread throughout the universe. Because Krishna is transcendental, his fame is not different from his personal incarnation. So as the Lord's fame expands, the entire universe is gradually liberated. These are some of the unique characteristics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there's that understanding that God is all good, and that everything he does is wonderful, but then some people look at the material world and see so many miserable things happening. And also here, we see in the Vedic scriptures, in the Krishna book, it's full of killing, tons of killing. Bhagavad Gita is on the battlefield. So how is it that God is all good? But he himself explains that when he kills someone, he liberates them. So this was the answer to that first question about, you know, why is it that he really does come? And he comes to deliver the devotees and to annihilate the demons, but in that annihilation, he liberates them. So they get delivered and benefited in a variety of different ways. On a different note, when Lord Chaitanya comes, he doesn't carry any lethal weapon, but he gives the holy name. And he liberates everyone, as we read in his tour of South India, just touching somebody or someone just seeing a devotee that has touched the Lord is liberated, gets delivered. So he had a different method, although once he did call for a Sudarshan Chakra, ready to kill Jagannath, but Luckily, Lord Vichananda said, remember not this age. That's not what you're meant to do. This is not your killing weapon. But the holy man can kill all those dirty things within our heart, which destroys all of our good qualities. As we see, as the Kali Yuga is just beginning to get going, really, that the qualities of living entity, the standard has gone so far down. Even in just the few years that I've been on the planet, it just seems like the quality of standard is a couple of notches below, and that maybe we're a little bit ahead of schedule of Kali Yuga, going full speed into ignorance. And then Srila Prabhupada, he took up the mission of Lord Chaitanya too, to spread this holy name, to also kill that demoniac mentality. He dropped bombs of books, and bombs of prasadam and gulab jamuns and chapatis and everything to help destroy the misery of the poor souls that were rotting here in this Kali Yuga. And for us, we've been passed the baton, and now we are meant to also distribute this mercy, and only for the price of one's faith. That's what Lord Nityananda said. Just for the faith, you can have this process of liberation, of actually deliverance, not just liberation, but actually to be able to enter into the past sense of the Supreme Lord. So Krishna is all good. God is all good. And we should be very proud and very confident that we can tell that all the Lord does do some killing, he is all good. So along with the giving of the holy name, we spread the holy name around, but we also give these pastimes of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada, very early on, in 1970, we had the Krishna book, because it's so important to hear these different pastimes of the Lord. And but the Krishna book is exploding with excitement and entertainment. I remember when we first got it, I was in a little teeny duplex in Dallas, starting at Dallas Temple, and we got the Krishna book, and everything stopped dead. And we just started opening the pictures and looking, looking at it. It was just such an exciting thing, wanting to know all these pastimes, which we really hadn't heard. And it was an explosion. Like, wow, can't believe all these things that Krishna did. So it became our entertainment, and it should still be our entertainment to hear these pastimes of the Lord and all the. And a lot of it is killing. It's all very, very exciting. So this helps to destroy all the mundane attraction we have for mundane activities and personalities and achievements and everything else going on in that world out there. When we have within our spiritual world right here so many wonderful pastimes. So on the internet, I noticed that if you have someone you want to employ, you might wonder about their dubious character, and you can go on and you can actually find out their record. And so if you look up Krishna's record, I think you'll find that he's actually been accused many, many times of doing some very bad things. Even when he was a teeny little baby with his teeny little weeny pink lotus soft feet, what did he do? Kick the cart, right? Kick the cart, Sakakishora dead. Putana here is described in this pastime. Sucked out her breasts and poof, gone. So he had quite a bit of potency even in his younger age. And but he admits that this is my business coming here. I'm going to do a lot of this just to help deliver all of my devotees. And he didn't use a lot of weapons. Just think of when he came into Mathura. He'd been invited to engage in a nice wrestling match, and he didn't want to resist that. So he and Balaram kind of paired up on a lot of adventurous activities together. And first they encountered this washerman, very arrogant washerman, who would not give them any clothes so they could get all dolled up for the occasion. And so what did he do? Just with his hand, right? Done, finished. Simply, just with his hand. I mean, not even the karate experts can chop off someone's head. So He proved himself there. And then a little further down, they come to the gates of Mathura, and there's this big, giant, huge elephant, angry, is being prodded by his demoniac caretaker, poked to be very, very angry and to stop Krishna Balaram. And so Krishna Balaram again, just with their hands, grab the elephant, flip him, a couple flips, slaps him around, and end up taking the booty of the big tusk and walking to the town in a very valiant manner. So then they get into the wrestling match, and again, just with the hands, they wrestle with Chanura, Mushtika, Toshala, Kuta, destroy them. And this was just the warm-up, just so he could go and, with his hand again, simply his hand, drag the fountainhead of all this harassment, this demon kamsa, drag him on the dais and give him the last slap of his life and finish this demon off. It's described that in this purport that he got a Sarupya Mukti. He actually got liberation in this way. Some say he got a form of Narayan. Others say that he went to Vaikuntha Loka. But mercy, a lot of mercy to all these demons. And we can remember another famous demon who was in the shape of a horse, who came and scuffed up the Vrindavan, Keshi demon, scuffed up all the dirt, and was terrifying all the residents. They were running, screaming. Horses can be really fierce. I don't know if you've ever seen a mad horse, but they can really be scary. And but Krishna, again, just ran around, grabbed him by the hoof, and swung him around and threw him on the ground. But then the horse got up again. He said, no, you're not going to get away this easy, and charged him. And how did he charge him? With his mouth wide open. So what did Krishna do? He stuck his fist in there, and I don't know if you ever seen a sarabi. If you look at it like this, she'll look at you like this, and they just have bottom teeth. It's so funny. They just have bottom teeth. But horses have both of them, and they can take a big, big bite. My father was a surgeon, and he had to take care of someone who bit someone's thigh. But he put his hand in there. He got hot as fire, and all his teeth fell out. And then his eyes bulged and gone. So this is the fate of just using Krishna's hands. It's so very simple to take care of these demons. There was a similar result to somebody else in the pastime of Krishna Balaram. They were invited to a very nice match also, a gambling match. Rukmi knew that Balaram was not very good at chess games. So they went, and Balaram proceeded to play and got cheated, of course, and got angry and angry like on the waves on a full moon day in the ocean. And he simply took his club over the chess game and bopped him good on the head. And then the king of Kalinga, sitting there with his teeth shining beautifully, was next in line to get his teeth all knocked out. And that was the end of him. When we used to have a temple over here, there was a little porch on there, and we used to have Mother Bhakti and this lady named Renika come over and do plays on Sundays. And one time Renika, she put these little chicklet things in her mouth, and she was the king of Kalinga. So that when they hit her, she went, and all these little white things fell all over there. Oh, it really looked really good. And so this also, this was the fate of this king of Kalinga. So I'm sure Balaram, everybody had a good time in some of these killing acts. There was also, Krishna was a little bit easier on Rukmi earlier in a pastime where he had just kidnapped his sister, Rukmini, and riding on the chariot, and Rukmi said, "I'm not going to get away with this," charged after him, and Krishna, of course, easily defeated him and was about ready to give him the the end of his life, but Rukmini, please, and my brother, you can't do this. And so he was a little bit lighter, and spared his life, but did punish him severely in other ways. Krishna was also won over by the prayers of the Kaliya serpent and spared their husband Kaliya and chastised him, sent him away, but he changed his mood a lot just by having Krishna dance on his head, and he left to rectify his wrongdoing. So Krishna's not all bad. He can be a little light also. Once a Banasura, who was a thousand-armed demon, he caught wind. His servants came to him and said, you know, Aniruddha, Krishna's grandson, and Usha are having an illicit relationship. I think you better do something about it. And he was furious, of course, to hear, just like any of us would be furious, you know, anger is anything, went there. And Sama stood up for his rights. But this Banasura had some special powers. He was Lord Shiva and had this Nagapashi weapon and captured Aniruddha and kept him captive. And then when the news got out to the Adu dynasty, all of them were just fried. And they all decided they were going to go there and retaliate. So they all went there, including Krishna Balaram, everyone, all these great warriors. And a horrible fight ensued. And Lord Shiva actually got on the side of Banasura. And they were fighting and fighting, and all these different astras weapons. There was a mountain weapon and a heat weapon and a cold weapon, a wind weapon and a hurricane weapon, all to for frustration. There was all kinds of everyone was battling everybody else, and then finally, the Narayan of Krishna, the Narayan astra, was about ready to finish everything, including Banasura and everybody, and then Lord Shiva, on the behalf of Banasura, who had just had 996 arms cut off, and was just about to end his life, he was spared by Lord Shiva's request to please, you know, give him a break. So he actually, Banasura bowed down and surrendered, and he got a benediction of becoming immortal. So Banasura is somewhere still around with four arms now. So he got some mercy in a different way. But many times Krishna will engage his chakra in doing a lot of the killing work. Just like the Mura demon, he was brought down with the Sudarsan chakra. And then the seven sons of Mura came, and also they were delivered to Yamaraj. Of course, we heard just the other day, caught wind of the story of Pondraka, who dressed up like Vishnu and said, surrender your weapons. So he surrendered his Sudarshan and took off Pondraka's head. And he got, because he was dressed up like Krishna, he actually got Sarupya Mukti. He actually got to get a form like Krishna. I think there was a BTG article not too long ago, quite a while ago actually, where some teenage boys, I think it was Halloween, and they dressed up like devotees to make fun of them. They were down running around and everything, and they ended up becoming devotees. So that's also a liberation, just pretending like being devotees. Yeah. I was on a Harinam down at Coconut Grove during that Halloween, and I saw a lot of people dressed up like devotees. So maybe they're devotees too now. Yeah. It's powerful to be a devotee, and to be dressed up like devotees. So the demons, though, when they get exterminated, when they get killed, their offenses get mitigated. So this is a great benediction that Krishna has done in regards of appearing here. There was a very tough opponent one time. His name was Shalva, and he had a mystic airplane, a very high-tech airplane that could disappear and reappear. But it was doing some real havoc. It was dropping all kinds of horrible things on all the people, residents of Dwarka, and all the different devotees. And so Krishna came on the scene and was fighting the battle. And Shalva was really tough. He struck Krishna really hard on the side, and so hard that Krishna dropped his shranga, his bow. And so then all the people in the bleachers, all the higher celestial entities went, "Alas, alas!" But they were thinking, how wonderful it is that Krishna's done this, he's dropped his bow. And of course, Shalva took the opportunity to rush in, and then Krishna grabbed his club and hit him really hard. And then Shalva disappeared. And then he reappeared, and all of a sudden this person came with Vasudeva and said, "This is your father, and we're going to kill him." And he cut off his head, and Krishna took the role of a human being and said, "Oh, alas, alas, my father, this must be destiny, it must be my fate." And so then when Shalva took the opportunity again to rush him, then Krishna cut off his hands and killed him, ultimately with his disc also. So Krishna gave everyone a lot of fun watching the intensity of actually maybe not making it, maybe not killing him. So this is also Krishna's fun and play, getting these demons so that he can have fun in killing and fighting. So Shalva's cohorts, Dantavaka, came and wanted to avenge, and they also were very offensive and calling Krishna names, foolish Krishna, and then he took a club and hit Krishna right on the chest. But Krishna didn't even move an inch, nothing, didn't bother him at all. And then Krishna took his club, split Dantavaka's chest right in half. And then Vidarath, who was his friend, he wanted revenge too, and he ended up also attacking Krishna with a sword, but then again killing Vidarath, sending him to Yamaraj. So Krishna had so many missions to deliver these demons that were causing problems, but there's also opportunity when he wanted to, he had to do some business just for his own personal interests, and that was in a couple of his marriages. He married, he captured, we heard about the Rukmini, but also he won Lakshmana. He actually took the bow and looked into the pond and shot the fish spinning in the air, and even defeated Arjuna in that competition and won Lakshmana. But all the princes, all the other suitors were very angry and attacked, and he ended up having to kill them to go off and take Lakshmana to Dwarka. The same with Mitravinda, who was also another queen, and he won her, and the suitors were also very angry and attacked, and he defeated all the princes. He cut off their hands, and he cut off legs, and he cut off heads, and left a big mess for everybody. But he also took Mitravinda very happily to become one of his queens. There are some incidents when Krishna is not guilty, but he is an instigator, and he's a perpetrator. So there was, you can remember the when I think Krishna and Balaram were chased by Jarasandha, they end up jumping 88 miles down the mountain holding hands, and then this Kalyavana, this untouchable king, was chasing them, and Krishna said, "Well, we got to get rid of him, but we can't touch him." So they snuck into a cave to watch the fun. And it happened to be that Mujikunda was sleeping there. He had a benediction, which I can't see the benediction, but he got to sleep and sleep and sleep and sleep because he had been fighting and with the demigods, and he was tired. And whoever woke him up better watch out because you could burn them to fire. So Krishna Balaram watched this scene when Talayavana came in and was angry, and Muchakunda got woken up and burned to a pile of ashes. So this was actually Krishna's doing. So he was pretty tricky. And then in the Battle of Kurukshetra, there was that incident. Duryodhan was seeing all his forces being killed. You know, he was getting down to just a few people left and all these millions of people that were killed. And his mother, Gandhari, was very concerned. Son, who's going to be next? And she had a great amount of potency. Why? Because she was chaste. We hear about these women marches recently or something, thinking they're so potent and powerful, but just by her chastity, she had so much power. And so she wanted to benedict her son with being invincible, his body being invincible. So she said, please come here naked and I will make your body invincible. And so walking along, start naked, and Krishna goes, oh my goodness, what is this? Where are you going? And he convinces him, you can't go like this in front of your mother. This is just, at least cover your lower self. And so he did, and when she took off her blindfold for the first time, and poof, the power, and then said, but you covered your lower self now, and you're not going to be invincible there. And so Krishna knew that. And so when it came down to the fight between Bhima and Duryodhan, and it went on and on and on, and Bhima said, I don't know how I'm going to kill this Duryodhan. He's just too much. And so Krishna was back there going, you know, get him at the thighs. And he, even though it's, you know, it's against the rules. And sure enough, Bhima, that fatal blow to his thigh. So it was really Krishna's doings again. But he can't really accuse him. And then also, again, in the battlefield, near the end, Arjuna's son, Abhimanyu, had been killed by Jayadrath. And Arjuna took the vow, I'm going to kill this guy before the sun sets. And there was a whole, you know, arrangement where Jayadrath had arranged to go way off and take him far away from where he could be protected by all the Pandavas and everybody, off and off, and then it got later and later, and still he couldn't kill him. And then Krishna again, with his mystic power, what did he do? The sun was just about to set. Poop! The sun came back up again, and Arjuna had the time to finish him off. So Krishna is wonderful. As it's describing in this purport, how wonderful it is, and how we can go on for hours telling about of all these different activities. And we're meant to. We're actually meant to distribute this knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how wonderful and how good He really is, and how much He will protect the devotees and protect religiosity. So at every opportunity, like it says here, we should make Him more famous. And more famous, and all famous, so that everyone understands that Krishna is our supreme friend and our supreme protector and the controller of everything. Like I said, here, just hearing about the pastimes of Krishna, you get liberated. But just think of becoming a devotee, just coming here to the temple and sweeping the floor, doing some little service, we can develop love of Godhead and achieve much more than liberation, but actually go back home, back to Godhead. You know, just imagine spending one day with Krishna, waking up and spending one day, whole day, going with him, with all this adventure and love and romance and killing and everything. How wonderful it would be. So we want to also help liberate people, take that baton, that Sankirtan movement, that the spreading of the holy names, which is non-different than Krishna, and go and try to liberate all these different persons. We don't understand the effect of the holy name, of what it does. It is full of these pastimes. It is full of potency. And we have 200,000 people that are going to be lining the streets down on Saturday. And the more The more we devotees are there, the more powerful we can be, because it's actually really hard just even to move through that crowd. But when they see, they actually see the devotees coming, they get really excited. They really do. And they participate, even though it's mocking, just like the devotees mock the devotees by dressing up like them. They mock us, but they dance and they chant and they get benedicted and they get to realize that Krishna, who is this Krishna anyway? And we make Krishna more famous. They go, oh, there's the Hare Krishnas. Oh, here they're again here this year. Great. Let's dance with them for a while. And some do this. Some go with us the whole way, the whole 2 hours, and dance and chant with us. So we should realize it is our duty to spread the glories and the fame of Krishna. And not only ourselves, we get benedicted and develop some of that love, get rid of some of that demoniac dirt in our hearts, but also we can send other people for this wonderful process of deliverance of just singing and dancing and eating. How easier can it get in Kali Yuga? So it's nice to hear these pastimes and to spread them. Anyone like to add some things? Yes, sir? Michelle?
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Very interesting class, and filled with a lot of wonderful memories of Krishna's killing the demons. But one thing you mentioned about Shishupal, you know, Krishna's all good. You said Krishna's all good. We all agree. But then you indicate...
I didn't mention Shishupal.
You said with Rukmini.
I didn't mention Shishupal.
I thought you mentioned Rukmini, Krishna.
Rukmini, yeah.
Yeah, and he killed Shishupal. No, he didn't. He didn't kill Shishupal, but he made him look bad. In other words, he did something better. He gave him a break.
Rukmini. Yeah, he shaved him up. Funny.
Yeah,
made
yeah,
him
yeah.
Defamed.
But if God is all good, you indicate that he may be a little bad by giving Rukmini a little break. You know, a devotee is always happy to hear Krishna's killing the demons because they're always troublemakers. You see, so how can you say, yeah, it sounds inconsistent?
He has different methods for different people. He can punish them, defame them, and ultimately he did get the sauce. He actually gave Balaram the privilege of doing that. He wanted to benedict his brother. So ultimately he got it. He wants to give out the mercy to his brother.
So if he's giving liberation, impersonal liberation to most demons,
for a demon, it's pretty good. Don't complain.
Okay.
Anybody else came back here?
What would you reply or advise to devotees who of small children? They have small children, but they will not read the pastimes of Krishna killing the demons to them because of the violence.
Who is that?
Well, I know.
Show them those DVDs. Krishna's so cute and the demons are so ugly, but it's just so exciting. Show them some DVDs.
They have this notion that their children will simply imitate violent activities like that. What
I
would
think
you advise? Seriously, give me...
I think they need some education. Let them hear the class. They get liberated. It's mercy on them. Mm-hmm. It's hard to understand. Actually, I think it says in the Bhagavad Gita that if anyone can understand the appearance and disappearance of the Lord, they're liberated. So mm-hmm. we have to be able to explain it, that he's doing it to reestablish religiosity. He's not doing, like it says in this purport, he's not doing it because he's envious or angry. He's doing it for a whole different reason. So we have to become expert in explaining that. It's not that he gets really angry. Most of the time, he's it's a nonchalant thing. Yes, Manamati.
Krishna killed, mostly he kills them with his hands or
blood.
Then you mentioned something that he, one of the demons he killed with a club, Dantavakra or some. Any other weapons or anybody else he killed with a club? Or did he? Does he have any other weapons that he has killed as Krishna? With other weapons?
Rama with a blade of grass. I don't know. Anyone can recollect?
Or any other demon with the club?
Let's see. Mostly Balaram. He did some,
but not Krishna.
No, I can't think of any. But we only know a little teeny bit of the past.
Yeah.
If you want to go to another planet next lifetime, maybe you'll see it in action. Some other night time.
When Krishna just cut off Rukmi's part of his mustache and part of his hair to make him look foolish as his punishment, instead of dispatching him, the reason, of course, is because he was Rukmini's brother, and she was a she would have been a gas. She really didn't want him to die. But then later on, of course, after they had been married many, many years, and there was the wedding where Balaram killed Rukmi. At that time, she said, because she spoke up when at the first time when he was cutting off, please don't kill my brother. But at this time, she didn't speak up. And later on, when Krishna was teasing her and she fell down like a banana tree cut down by a whirlwind, and then Krishna told her then, he said, and when your brother was finally killed, you didn't say a word. And by your silence, you bought my cherished love forever. Well, by that silence.
Well, Krishna also was very passive in that whole thing. He was just sitting there.
I always like that. One nice thing about that story, too, is that Krishna says, and before, when the messenger, brought your letter to me before we were married, when you didn't think I was coming, you were prepared to commit suicide, he said to Rukmini.
When he sat there, he's silent.
So he actually didn't say a word because I kind of remember that he didn't want to say anything against Balaram, and then he didn't want to say. So he kept quiet.
Neutral. And then after he bashed King Kalinga's teeth, all the friends of King Kalinga, they went very flip, very fast. Well, why don't we just sit here for a few hours until past time? Yes.
The purport, it was mentioned.
And so it's sort of something special, yeah. Not like us. And to be bashed by a club and not be phased at all, you can imagine. Quite different than us. Okay, Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Jai Shri Krishna ki, Jai.